Hello, everybody, and happy December. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The lines are open right now, and we invite your call to 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It is December 1st, and we're starting a brand new month and a brand new theme. And I can't think of a more appropriate theme for the month of December than the theme of joy. You know, as we talk to people all across this country and really around the world, one of the things that we see that's very common in the Christian experience is that people come to Christ and they're filled with joy and they're so excited. And then as time moves on, they lose that joy of their salvation and they don't know what went wrong. And what went wrong is they replaced the joy that was caused in their heart by the person and work of Jesus. They've replaced Jesus with rules and regulations and rituals, human effort. They've made it all about them. Well, there's no joy there. There's no joy in trying to work yourself to death. There's no joy in burning yourself out. That's not joyful at all. That's not happy at all. Joy comes from resting in Christ. Joy comes from keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. He is our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's what we find out in the Christmas story. As the angel comes to the shepherds, we see this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. So the baby Jesus had been born. Mary had already given birth, had laid him in a manger, and now the news was starting to spread, was going to spread. And the angels were the first heralds of this news, and they told it to some shepherds out in their fields. And this angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Man, can you imagine that scene? They're just doing their normal nightly task of watching their flocks. And they're probably chit-chatting, probably doing what they normally do. And all of a sudden, an angel appears, and the glory of the Lord shines around them. That's enough to scare anybody. And certainly the shepherds were scared. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." So here's some news that's going to be the cause for joy and all people who hear the news and receive it for what it is. So if we want to know what causes joy, it's this good news. So now we have to ask the question, what's the good news? What is this good news that's going to cause joy in my heart? What's this good news that is going to cause joy in all the people? And it's simply this. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So what is the news that is going to cause great joy for all the people? It's the news that Christ was born. The news that a Savior has arrived on the scene. One who is going to save his people from their sins. For those who receive that good news, it is the cause of great joy in the human heart. If you've lost that salvation, let me encourage you today to take a fresh look at the Christmas story, to take a fresh look at the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's the news that will restore the joy of salvation in your heart. And I tell you, when it happens, you're going to feel like you've been born again. Again.
All over again.
Yeah, so yeah. Take a look at Jesus. He's the one that causes great joy in our hearts. Why? Because he set us free. He's given us a new identity. He's taken away our sins. He's declared us to be righteous. He's come to live inside of us. He has given us hope for the future. He has done everything. That's the cause for joy. and the cause for rejoicing.
There's a lot of joy in that.
Yes, indeed.
Friends, we'd like for you to join the conversation right now at 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open, and we'd love for you to come in and talk to us about the joy that you're experiencing or the joy that you're maybe seeking right now. Again, 844-322-2742. Guys, I can't think of any time better than the Christmas season to begin the basic gospel journey. Now, that journey, of course, begins and ends with Jesus. And in between is the life-changing truth of the new covenant, that we're no longer bound by rules and regulations, no longer living under a cloud of fear and guilt. In Christ, we begin a new life, a life of freedom, faith, and rest. That's joyful stuff right there. The Basic Gospel Journey is a CD by Bob Christopher that will encourage you to walk with Jesus in the adventure of a lifetime, filled with the riches of His grace and the fullness of His life. The Basic Gospel Journey is our gift to you this month to say thanks for your donation to reach out to others during this Christmas season with the good news of the gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and receive your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey. Again, that's basicgospel.net, and thank you in advance for your support of Basic Gospel. Well, guys, here's a question that, it kind of a mishmash of various scriptures that maybe don't really connect together. Let's just see what it says. It says, so many Christians believe that the lost will suffer throughout eternity in hell. Just imagine it, time with no end. How absurd. What could it possibly accomplish? So many texts, John 3:16, saved shall not perish but have eternal life. Of Satan's original lie in the garden, ye shall not surely die. The wages of sin is death, not eternal life. Matthew 10, fear God who kills both the body and soul in hell, and so forth and so forth. What is your ministry, what is your ministry's opinion and position on all this?
Well, I don't know that we have an opinion. We know what the Word of God has to say, and that's where we have to place our stake. What does the Word of God have to say on these things? And we have to really go back to the garden and bring it forward to kind of see how this story unfolds. So God created mankind in His image. We were to be image bearers. We were to reflect His image out into the world. That's what we were to do. And when sin came into the picture, as Satan brought it into the picture through his lies, through his deception, it messed us up. We no longer were the image bearers that God had created us to be. So Major Ian Thomas, a number of years ago, gave a great illustration. He said, suppose there was another planet, and on that planet was life. And they knew God existed, but that's all they knew about God. They had no earthly idea what God was like. But somehow information got to them. And the information was this: there's a planet called Earth, and on that planet are people who were created in the image of God. If you can find a way down there, if you can make your way to planet Earth and see what these people are like, you're going to find out what God is like. Why? Because they're made in His image. Well, if they had done that before the fall and seen Adam and Eve, they would have seen a positive reflection of God's character through Adam and Eve. Why? Because they were bearing His image. Well, when sin came into the picture, that image got tarnished, got jaded. So if they were to come today and look at mankind, they would think that God was an adulterer, a thief, or a liar, or all of those sort of things, because that's what we see all around us. So that's what sin has done. It has caused us to miss the mark of what God intended us to be in creating us from the get-go. We were to be image bearers. Now, what happened is that Adam and Eve were made fully alive, body, soul, and spirit, when they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and lost that role of being an image bearer. They died. They didn't die bodily that day. That happened some 900 years later. They didn't die soulishly. That was a slow, painful process. But they died spiritually. They lost the life of God. And what has Christ come to do? He's come to restore that life to us. Now, that life is available by grace through faith in Jesus. And it's made available because Jesus shed His blood once and for all, taking away sins, the sins of the world, and giving us the opportunity to receive this new life. Now, those who receive Jesus receive that life and are restored back to that original vocation of being an image bearer. And God is living in us. He's doing his work to conform us into the image of his Son. Those who reject, who love their darkness better than light, who say no to Jesus, they simply remain in their lost condition. And if they die in that lost condition, then that's going to be an eternal state. So they're going to experience eternal death. So they have this first death that they're under now, and all of us come into this world dead spiritually. If they die physically in that state of spiritual death, then they're going to experience what the Bible calls second death. Well, what is that? That's simply the absence of life, the absence of God's life in them. And that's a condition where there's going to be gnawing and gnashing of teeth. And it's a harsh, harsh reality that they're going to experience. And that's what the Word of God says about those who receive Christ are going to experience eternal life. Those who reject Christ are going to remain spiritually dead eternally. Richard, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, yeah, if you stick with what the Bible says, it doesn't give you an absolute answer, but it makes it very clear that you want to belong to Jesus. All of the stuff that has grown up around this doctrine of hell has done more disservice to the body of Christ than it has shed light on the situation. We do not serve a vengeful God. He's just think of all of your favorite pictures of hell. I mean, probably the most famous of all pictures was a word picture. It was Dante's Divine Comedy, and in the first third of it, the Inferno, he details this descent into hell. And there's nothing in that descent that isn't pagan.
Right.
It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ and accepting him or rejecting him. So if you've gotten your picture of hell from books like that or religious teaching like that, throw it out. Go to the Word of God. Read what it has to say. Don't go beyond what it says. Don't go less than what it says. Stick with Jesus and you will find the
path. That's exactly right. Well, and here's the good news. No one has to.
No one has to.
Right. No one has to remain dead spiritually. There is life available, and that life is in Jesus. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the answer to why is there suffering in the world? Why does it continue to go on like it's gone on year after year after year after year? Because God is patient, and he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. So as time marches on and that promise of his second coming tarries, you know, it's not happening yet. It's because God is continuing to offer up Jesus to people on this planet. And we have that great opportunity to be a part of that rescue mission.
Yes.
God will use us to offer life to those who are dead in sin. So that's our job. And that's an incredible privilege to be able to hold out the word of life. And as Paul wrote in the Philippians, we shine like stars in the universe when we do.
Yes.
Why? We're reflecting the image of God. God's a living God. Jesus is a life-giving spirit. When we're reflecting that truth, we're offering life to those who are dead in sin, just like somebody offered life to us when we were dead in sin. So that's the good news. Jesus is the answer. Let's make them known.
Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, my name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us on this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. We'd love for you to really join us at 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock. We'd love to address your question or your particular issue on this edition, so give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. That, of course, if you are listening live during the 3 o'clock hour Central Time. If you're not, if you're listening at some other time, you can pose your question at that same number, just record it. We'll get to it tomorrow or the next day, and Short of that, you can go to our website, or in addition to that, you can go to our website, basicgospel.net/ask. You can record your question there or write it in text form. Either way, all are good ways to pose your question on Basic Gospel, because we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to address your question here at Basic Gospel. Well, here's a question, guys, a doctrinal question from Bruce in New York. It says, would you please explain Matthew 13:52? He says, I've read this verse several times and have been using Romans 15:13 as a cross-reference for hopefully more understanding. Please, I need help. That's from Bruce in New York.
Now, what was the passage
again? Passage is Matthew 13:52 and then Romans 15:13.
Okay, so here's what Matthew 13:52 said. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. An interesting passage, isn't mm-hmm. it? And I think what it means in my way of looking at this is there was a treasure of truth placed into the possession of the Jewish people.
Yes.
And that treasure was known as the Old Testament. And we see an unfolding story. And many people look at that as kind of a history of the Jewish people and God's dealing with the Jewish people. But really, it's the story of Jesus, isn't it?
Yes.
And so when somebody comes to Christ, they actually are given a new set of glasses, a pair of glasses through which they can properly interpret this Old Testament and be able to see that it truly is the story of Jesus. So from out of that old, they can bring incredible treasures. You look at the Passover story. You look at the Exodus, all of those sort of things. And when you see them through the lens of Christ Jesus, you recognize exactly what Christ has done through his death, burial, and resurrection, how he has rescued, how he has destroyed the powers that once held us in bondage to sin and death, and how he has released us into this promised land of faith and hope and love and rest in Jesus Christ. So we can bring out incredible treasures from this old. And I think that's what this is saying.
What did Jesus say? Don't think that I've come to destroy the law. I've come to fulfill it. And so much of his teaching, probably the vast majority of his teaching, was done to explain the meaning of the Mosaic Covenant and how he was about to fulfill all of that meaning. And so when someone chooses to follow Jesus and they're given the mind of Christ, as the way Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 2, understanding comes along with the mind of Christ, and you see that old covenant, you go, oh my sakes, Jesus is there. In every aspect of every story, every law, every piece of the covenant, Jesus is there. And then he doesn't leave you there, because Jesus actually came.
Yes.
And he fulfilled it, and he died, and he rose again. And then when he went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit down to us. And now we get to move forward based on that incredible foundation and all of that history and all of that fulfilled prophecy. How could you not be excited by what the Spirit reveals?
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
And as the writer of Hebrews said, and I think this is such an important rule of interpretation, mm-hmm. In Hebrews 10:1, he says, the law is a shadow
yes.
of the good things that are coming. So what we see in the law foreshadows the person and work of Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So like I said, the Exodus story, the Passover, the Day of Atonement, all of those things are fingers pointing toward the finished work of Christ,
yes.
toward Jesus himself. And it's in Jesus that we find life, that we find hope, that we find forgiveness, that we find righteousness. All of those things that we are looking for mm-hmm. are stored up in Jesus. So when we see Jesus, when we encounter Jesus, the same was true of Paul. Paul could be this guy that Jesus yeah. is talking about out of his storeroom of Old Testament theology, brought all of these writings in the New Testament that are so powerful. if you will just look through all of Paul's writings and go back and read the Old Testament passages, you will see incredible treasure there that could have been hidden until you recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
So it's powerful stuff.
Absolutely. We appreciate hearing from our listeners. Had an anonymous call overnight on our recorded feature. Let's listen to that call from San Jose right now.
Hello, I'm calling from California, the San Jose area, and my question is it blasphemous or is it considered inappropriate to using the Lord's name in vain if I say, oh God, or if I say, for Christ's sake, would you not do that anymore? Or I think you get the gist of my question, at least I hope. I love your program, and I'll listen for the answer. Thank you. God bless.
Well, that's a great question.
Yes.
And, you know, words matter. Words are important, and we do say a lot of things, and we say a lot of things that we don't really mean. And I think some of the examples that she gave there, you know, you don't have any real meaning behind those words. You know, taking the Lord's name in vain, when you do that, there's purpose, there's intention, there's meaning behind that. You're saying you're misusing it. You're saying something about him that's not true.
Yeah.
And, you know, God is truth, and his name means truth. I mean, that's what it stands for. So if we misuse it, we may cause problems for others. We may pass on information to them that they will take as truth that's not truth. So it's important. Words do matter. There are many people who, you know, at some point in life, they got mad. They were disappointed with their circumstances. They lashed out at God. They said something negative about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, oftentimes they live in fear that they've committed the
gone too far.
They've committed the sin of blasphemy, and that they're beyond the reach of salvation. Well, that's not true. Most of these people who fear that, at some point later in life, they have confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and have believed in their heart that God has raised him from the dead. So they you know, they haven't committed that sin of rejecting Christ. Mm-hmm. So we just don't want to misuse. We don't want to say something about God that's not true. And I think that's the important thing. That's why it's so important for us to realize that what we know about God has been revealed to us in the person of Jesus. That's why we want to lift him up. Why? Because he has come into this world to make the Father known. There's so many people that would say, God is judgmental. He's angry. He is, you know, just a mean old ogre and that sort of thing. Are those statements true? No, they're not true. That's what sin tells us about God. But when we look to Jesus, we find a whole different story, that God is love and God is forgiving and that God is filled with mercy. So let's speak truth about God.
Absolutely. But again, you can pose a question to us if you would like to go online to basicgospel.net/ask. Basicgospel.net/ask. We would love to address it on a soon coming edition of Basic Gospel. You know, this Christmas season is a great time to start your Basic Gospel journey. It begins and ends with Jesus. And in between is the life-changing truth of the new covenant, that we're no longer bound by rules and regulations, no longer living under a cloud of fear and guilt. In Christ, we begin a new life, a life of freedom, faith, and rest. The Basic Gospel Journey is a CD message by Bob Christopher that will encourage your walk with Jesus Christ in the adventure of a lifetime filled with riches, the riches of His glory, of His grace, of the fullness of His life. The Basic Gospel Journey is our gift to you this month to say thanks for your donation to reach out to others during this Christmas season, particularly with this good news of the gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and receive your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey. Again, that's basicgospel.net And we thank you in advance for your support of Basic Gospel and the message of God's unconditional love and grace in Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for our Friday study edition of Basic Gospel.